Welcome to the Half Hour Happy Hour, your chance to sit back, have a drink, and listen to some insightful musings, funny anecdotes, the occasional rant, and an all-too-frequent Bruce Willis reference. Join Jen, Justin, and Jer in hoisting a beverage or three, picking apart topics of the day, and explaining how things came to be the way they are. It's one part educational, one part bacchanal. It's best served over ice with a healthy dose of wit and a twist of cynicism.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour with your hosts, Jer, Jen, and Justin.
We're losing it already.
it's going to be that kind of show. Yeah. This week we're going to talk a bit about the lottery. There was recently an article that made its rounds on the web about a guy who figured out a way to hack the... it was a scratch-off bingo lottery. He figured out a way to solve it. So
in Canada.
In Canada, yeah. So we're gonna talk about a bit about the lottery in general, and we might scratch off a few cards ourselves, and we're just gonna have some fun today. But first, I think we all need a drink. So, Jer, what are you gonna have?
I'm actually having a local beer from Cigar City Brewing, their High Life IPA. When you think IPA, you think hoppy. This is old school hoppy. It's traveling across India from England hoppy, which I like. I'm a big IPA fan, so this is delish.
Sorry, I'm good.
What are you having, Jen?
I'm having a very not hoppy Victory Golden Monkey. I'm going to use the word sensual because that's what their website said, and that's awesome. But it's a...
What else does it do?
Does it matter? It's a monkey, and it's sensual, and it's yummy. I'm going to put it in my face. Justin, what are you drinking?
I'm having a little something ale from the Lagunitas Brewing Company in California. This one's pretty hoppy also. It's got kind of a fruity hoppiness. And just to give you an idea of how hoppy it is, on the side of the bottle it says, net contents, 12 fluid ounces of hops, malt, hops, yeast, hops, water, and hops. Life is uncertain. Don't sip. So, yeah, it's a fairly hoppy beer.
So there might be some hops in it.
Might be some hops in it, yes. So with that, let's all raise our glasses and cheers and get started. So we're going to start off with a little bit of history with the lottery in general. And apparently this history goes back quite a ways. Jen's done some research on that. So Jen, drop some knowledge on us.
Word. Seriously, you have to stop laughing. It's all Jer's fault. lottery goes back, like, way long time. Like, Han Dynasty long time. What? What is funny?
Way long time, like Han Dynasty long time.
There's definitely a lucky long time joke in there.
I was trying to find it.
Right. Okay, so...
That's what she said. dear Lord, this is going to be an awesome show for us and not for you. So... Yes, the Chinese actually funded the Great Wall in part by using a lottery system. Not necessarily the lottery that we think of today, meaning like you get your little ticket and you win some money or whatever. But there are references to drawing lots, which is very similar to a lottery in ancient China, the Celtic era, even in Homer's Iliad, the Bible. The lottery in the Bible, not where they were stoning people. Then we fast forward a little bit to a more modern day lottery. Like, when you think of lottery, probably the time that you're actually looking at would be 1434-ish in Flanders. Anybody know where that is? Didn't think so.
That's in England, isn't it?
No, it's close. It's Holland, Belgium, France area now. We actually get the word lottery from, I can't say this, so I'm just going to spell it for you guys. Write this down. It is L-O-T-E-R-I-J.
Lottery.
Looks Dutch.
She sound like fjords somewhere in there, because there's that weird J. But I don't know. Lottery fjords. There you go. It's actually a Dutch word meaning your lot or your fate. So hold your breath. Fate will bring you cash. Modern day lottery system in Flanders around 1434, where they actually gave you some sort of like tickety tick, and you could cash in for some sort of prizes. Here's the fun part, and we'll address this a little bit later in the show, but they actually used it not only to do fortifications for the town and, you know, general repairs, but whatever was left over was used to help the poor.
That's some irony right there.
Yes, we will get to that later.
But, you know, even in Rome, Caesar used it to fund repairs. That was the first real ticket sales. Again, in England, Queen Elizabeth I, this was kind of interesting. They sold something like tickets, but it was in 1566 they started this lottery program. Each ticket won a prize. All the prizes were equal to the amount of the money put in, but not necessarily distributed. So it's kind of like this wonky redistribution of wealth, and you hoped that you were one of the winners. But there wasn't a drawing for it until 1569, so it's kind of like a 3-year loan to the government.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Fast forward a little bit more. Ben Franklin financed cannons with the lottery.
Yep.
George Washington financed this place called Mountain Road, which basically allowed for Western expansion from Virginia. John Hancock financed some hall in Boston. Like, all sorts of forefathers were using our money to do their little projects and buy weapons and all sorts of fun stuff. So
interesting.
Not much has changed.
Well, except now they're using it for, you know, education, which we'll get into in a little bit, rather than
giant air quotes.
Right. Yeah.
So we fast forward a little bit to our modern day lottery from, you know, what we understand as the lottery now. First developed and first government run in Puerto Rico, actually, in 1934, which I found really interesting because we gave Puerto Rico a 30-year run to see if it would totally screw them over, and if not. And then we brought it to New Hampshire in 1964. As of right now, including the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and some other place that we own that I always forget about, the Virgin Islands, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, those three do have a lottery, and then out of the 50 states, all but 7. This is my favorite part. Those 7 states are Alabama, Alaska, Hawaii, Mississippi, Utah, Wyoming, and you want to take a guess at the last one? Nevada!
Where gambling is legalized, but it's regulated.
Right.
Now, when I first read that, I was like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But then I was reading a little bit further, and of course, Jer brought up with his stupid logic that why would you want to compete with your state's biggest industry? So that's why.
That's a good point.
But, well, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, what's really interesting is, so you've got Las Vegas, and the Gaming Commission, one of the worst games you can play in Las Vegas is Keno.
Right.
Which is essentially the
based
lottery.
On the lottery. Yeah.
But if you walked up to a craps table, just as an example, you would expect to lose money because that's what you do when you go gambling. They actually return 98 cents on every dollar that's gambled. So you have the opportunity to win back 98% of the money you spent.
And like blackjack? Or
this is, I'm talking about craps is 98%. Well, because it's all governed in Las Vegas, they have to pay out.
Right.
And so craps was like 98%. Roulette was 99%. Poker, blackjack, 99%.
I am not playing roulette right.
The lottery in Florida, 50%.
Huh.
At your best, you're looking at a possible return rate of 50% of the money you put in. And that's not even true. That's, like, best case scenario is half of the money that's put in comes back out. Versus these casinos that make billions of dollars a year that are actually putting 98 cents on a dollar back out the door.
That's interesting.
But it just keeps accumulating. That same 98 cents is then gambled again and again and again, which is where they make all their money.
Right.
They set their winners up in the penthouse for a reason.
Yeah.
They're gonna go piss away the money that they want.
Huh.
Well, and it's interesting because a lot of the people in Nevada, they had this article, I think it was from 2009, that people were traveling like an hour or two out of the city, and whenever the jackpot got huge, there'd be a line out the door of this particular convenience store because people wanted to play the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually looking at trying to institute it. The earliest it would be, it's in voting processes now, but the earliest it would be is 2013. But there was this one particular casino owner that was like, I'm totally fine with it, but only sell the tickets in the casino.
Sure. Right.
So, I mean, you're not having the convenience of the gas stations or whatever else convenience stores that we have here, but now all of a sudden the casinos are making that much more money.
Plus they're getting extra people in.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. You,
casinos are notorious traps and hard to get out of.
That's exactly where I was going to. You will only sell them in the casino.
In the back corner.
Not by the door.
So if you do win anything, your 50-50 best case scenario shot, you're going to blow it on the shiny objects before you get out the door.
Seriously. And don't expect to see signs directing you to the lottery without having to go through row after row of one-armed bandits
we'll
on tables.
We'll have games that you play and they'll direct you if you win.
Yes.
Wait, how awesome would it be if you could take your losing tickets and cash them in for credits at the casino? Because then they're going to get their money back twofold. Yeah.
Seriously. Well, I've got the winning system for Vegas anyway, but I will. No, it was given to me by a friend who kept having to go there for conferences. You won't believe it, but you can beat the house in Vegas. And we will go into that in our next segment. Right now, we're going to take a little break, refresh our beverages, and we'll see you in a few.
We here at the Half Hour Happy Hour would like to take a moment and thank our friends at the 48-Hour Guerrilla Film Competition for their unwavering friendship and mutual support. Clint, Nick, Steven, and Mike, and the rest of the GFC team challenge aspiring filmmakers to improvise, adapt, and overcome in a two-day grind of creativity and production. During the event, students, amateurs, first-time filmmakers, and industry pros compete directly with one another to write, shoot, edit, and deliver a short film in under 48 hours. For more info, go to 48gfc.com and check out their podcast, Guerrilla Filmmakers Lounge, available on iTunes. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back. In this segment, we're going to talk about some of the statistics, some of the economic impacts, where this money is going, how it could be better spent. In simplest terms, what I did was I looked at the poverty line for the last 20 years, year by year. I then took the inflation rates for those years to do a comparative of what I had to beat in order to make money. And what we learned from this article was that the highest dollar amount spent comes from people at or below the poverty line. So they are funding these lotteries almost entirely themselves because they view it as, what was the term?
Wealth building strategies.
Yes, this is their retirement. This is their 401k is scratch off tickets.
And this is why taxes blow.
And actually, it was funny. I was reading an article that said if a politician came and said everybody who makes less than $10,000 a year is going to get an additional 1.5% tax for education, everybody would be up in arms. Everybody would be flipping out. The guy would be impeached. That would be the end of it. But realistically, that is exactly what is happening. 1.5% of people at the poverty line are paying for these tickets, which is going to fund education. Which defeats the entire purpose, needless to say. So, having said that, over the course of the 20 years I examined, which is 1990 through 2010, they would have spent a cumulative $11,827 on lottery tickets.
Over the course of the 20 years?
Over the course of the 20 years. Keeping in mind that that's almost identical to the poverty line average, so it's like an entire year of salary was spent on lottery tickets. And realistically, they're not going to expect more than 50% if they hit it every time. So they put 12,000, let's round it up, 12,000 in. They can expect 6,000 out if every ticket's a win. So I compared it to some indices. NASDAQ, for example, actually had a 12.6% increase. The Hang Seng, 15.3% increase. But then I started thinking, okay, maybe these are people who don't have access to indices. They're not looking at the stock market. They're looking at places they spend money. And one of the things people tell you in the financial world is if you're going to invest in things you use.
Right.
So I pondered it and realized that Coca-Cola, Budweiser, and Walmart are probably more or less staples of the world we're talking about. These people understand that. I was going to look at Ford, but the last few years threw them out of whack. But so if these people had taken the same exact money and deposited into Coca-Cola stock, just Coca-Cola stock, they would have a 9% per annum increase on funds. Budweiser, 10.8%.
Hit me with the Walmart.
14.4% increase on their money. Now, Jen, you're in banking. What are money markets paying right now?
Let's see, if you've got, you know, a decent amount of money, somewhere between 0.7 and maybe 1.3 if you're lucky.
So if they had invested in that, they would literally be losing money to
inflation.
Right? Yeah. So they're losing 2.5% in the last year for inflation. Meanwhile, they could be hedging inflation, still have a full year's salary built up, plus they would have been earning 15% interest. I mean, it's just obscene. Meanwhile, they've just pissed this money away.
Yeah.
And
the, most likely not won anything.
Trivial
amount.
And the truth of it is, you can't even assume somebody hit a jackpot. You can't assume,
right.
I mean, statistically. But what you can assume is that these people don't understand the statistics involved and do this as a wealth-building strategy because they're not taught about wealth building in schools.
Right.
Oddly enough, where the funding is going.
Right.
Where is that? I mean, there's a break in the chain right there that just drives me certifiably insane.
Well, and coming from a banking background, they do have a teach children to save. I think it was a day, now it's a week, where they go in and teach children the importance of putting money away. But, I mean, even just looking at savings rates, like, just a straight personal savings, unless you have, like, a decent amount of money, are ranging from 0.05% to, like, 0.25% if you're lucky.
Yeah.
For people who are, and not to mention, minimum balances just went up everywhere. I think Bank of America just went up to, like, you know, 200, 300. I know a couple places that are 500, 1,000, just to have a savings account, which is ridiculous.
They all got slapped with all those regulations involving insufficient funds fees and such, so they have to come up with ways to make money somehow.
Right, but pass that back on to the consumer.
Precisely, and actually in 2009, just looking at the inflation rates, the inflation rate for 2009 was negative 0.38%. So if you had even a savings account, you would have beat a negative inflation rate. But 2010, it was 1.64. What accounts do you have that would trump inflation?
Yeah.
And keeping in mind that you're going to get an interest statement that you have to pay taxes on those earnings,
right,
which is a separate issue entirely. By the way, none of us are licensed financial advisors. Don't take anything we say as investment ideas. Small disclosure right here.
Good call.
Yeah.
It was just something that occurred to me as we're talking about stocks and investment tricks. It's like, no. Don't listen to us. These are just numbers.
We're basically saying that if you have a $5 bill in your hand and you can buy Walmart stock or a lottery ticket, duh. That's where our financial advisement ends.
Seriously. Let your money make money for you. Don't think that your money's going to make it in the lottery.
Well, and one of the things that I was reading with the whole trying to get the Nevada lottery going, was that they were concerned that these poor people would, instead of going into the grocery store and buying a gallon of milk and two loaves of bread for their family, they're going to buy a gallon of milk and walk out with a couple lottery tickets that they don't make money on. And it's like, if they're living in Vegas and they want to gamble,
they're going
to
gamble.
They're not going to be buying the bread to begin with,
yeah,
people.
It's not like they're going to be like, oh, shit, there's a casino right there? Oh,
I have no idea. How long has that been there?
I was distracted by the big bright lights. I didn't realize what was going on here.
Well, even in Florida, they started putting up additional billboards for the Florida, or paid for by the Florida Lottery, that says if you've got a gambling problem, you know, here's a number you can call and get help.
Here's some fun giggles that I found on the Florida Lottery website. You know, $22 billion to education. Ha! In 2009 to 2010, it was $1.24 billion. So the last 8 years, was it?
The last 8 years, they've had over $1 billion to education.
Which represents 6% of the education's total budget. Here's the problem. It's 6% of the budget. They're budgeting for this money.
Right. It's not bonus.
This is
we're depending on this money.
Right. Imagine if this was grant money.
Yeah.
So everything else is covered. This is just bonus,
right.
$1 billion in the state,
yeah,
for bonus.
Yeah.
Education.
But to education, what should be a crucial, you know, part of our infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
That it was interesting when you were talking about, you know, what the early presidents were doing at, you know, building cannons, building, you know, funding a hall or roads or stuff like that. That's cool. You know, bonus pet projects. That's what that money should be going towards, not education.
Well, because, again, that money's going into the economy, which is being spent over and over and over again.
Right.
And everybody, ultimately, all of it's being taxed. So the government's getting their cut. They can care less.
Right.
Well, not to mention, the lottery is also spending money to be present at special events to increase awareness, such as the Florida State Fair, the Strawberry Fest, the Miami Boat Show, this one's my favorite, the Tallahassee Pig Fest.
Pig Fest?
Yeah.
Honest to God, I lived in Tallahassee for I lived there for three times for a combined 9 years. I have never heard of it.
Hmm.
Okay, good. No, you're redeemed. I apologize.
No,
I've
never heard of the Pig Fest.
But this is my favorite part. The Florida Lottery has actually paired up with the Florida Amber Alert System to assist law enforcement and Amber Alerts. Part of our lottery dollars go to supporting law enforcement. How the hell does the lottery help find missing children?
They should put pictures on the back of the
pig. There you go.
You know, like the melt cart
or the little, exactly. No, the little scratch off. Like, scratch off the front of the face. Have you seen me? Match their face with the kidnapper.
There
win
you
a
go.
Million
Match
dollars.
Match their new scratch off game. Get
right,
three kids in a row, and you win.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So just for fun this week, we all decided to pick up, using different systems, decided to pick up lottery tickets, scratch offs, with the Florida Lottery. What's really impressive is the system used to determine the overall payouts is non-existent. The statistics involved are a joke. I mean, I had so much fun with this, but the system I used involved finding out the one with the highest payout and the least downside while still maintaining a ratio of the highest payout. So in other words, the $6,000 jackpot has the same possible winnings as a $2,000 jackpot for some odd reason.
Right. Huh.
We should note here that we all decided that we're going to stick to dollar scratch-off tickets
to minimize
our losses.
Right.
Because this is not a wealth-building strategy.
No, just for fun, $30 total was invested in this little experiment.
Yep, ten each.
And we all took a different strategy. Jared did way too much work to find out that the statistics are irrelevant.
You don't know that yet.
Okay, I don't know that. Maybe Jared's going to win a whole bunch of money and take us on a really awesome vacation.
That would be awesome.
There's a big rumor out there, strategy, whatever, about the beginning of the roll and the end of the roll being luckier, statistically heavier for winners, however you want to phrase it. So out of a roll of 300, I actually have lottery tickets 281 through 290, so we're going to see if that has any relevance.
And I did a little bit of traveling this weekend, so I hit up a few different convenience stores in a few different counties. And I basically just did the random method. I picked the ones that had the pretty pictures and kind of felt good to me, and just going to go on my gut on these. So
during the break?
Yeah, we're gonna scratch these off and come back. And
Or possibly not.
Maybe not, yeah. You may never hear from us again. We're going to come back and, see how we did, and then, kind of talk a little bit more about this. And there's a few tricks that people have come up with for trying to crack these things, so we'll talk about a couple of those also. So we'll maybe be right back.
Let's get to scratching. Oh, yeah, I love that.
Do you have enough money? Do proven long-term wealth-building strategies not meet your needs of instant gratification? Are you looking to retire young or supplement that huge wad you're getting from Social Security? Ready to find that get-rich-quick scheme that actually works? Come to the offices of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, where our experts in scratch-offology and numberism can turn the loose change between the seats of your truck into next week's beer money. Offering a wide portfolio of investment plans, from the beginner-friendly you pick 'em, we scratch 'em, to the Vegas special for that savvy investor, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe leads the market in luck-based fortune building. Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Fingers crossed for a better tomorrow. We're so full of shit, our eyes are brown. This is not a substitution for an financial advisor who knows what the hell they're talking about. Advice not to be taken seriously or administered directly.
We're back. During the break, we all scratched off our $10 worth of lottery tickets, each obtained using various strategies, and it's some interesting results. Jer did a scientific kind of method for picking his tickets. He picked the ones that statistically have the highest payouts, Jen went with a, you know, urban myth kind of strategy where the beginning of the roll, you got the end of the roll. The end of the roll typically pays out higher. And then I did a purely random, you know, selection process. So I wound up getting, I had two of the lucky stars scratch offs, five of the lucky slots, and then three monopolies. Didn't get anything on the each of these actually was a, you know, maximum $5,000 payout. I got nothing on the lucky stars, got nothing on the lucky slots, and one of my monopoly cards had $10. So basically made the money back out of my $10 on one card. So
obviously you should reinvest that.
Obviously I should reinvest that because you know, I broke even on my investment. That's a pure, you know, that's a great wealth building strategy.
Right, that's a good sign that you should do more. I had some pretty lucky slots.
Oh my god.
I picked the lucky slots. I had the Urban Myth end of the roll deal, and I, out of 10 tickets, had four winners, one $2, two $2, whatever. I got $5 out of the gig, $6. Damn it, I forgot already.
$6, right?
$6, yes. I got $6
so you,
out
you
of
had
my
a
slot.
A little bit better than half.
And I had all 10 ace in the hole, which has a cap on $6,000. Interestingly, the overall odds of winning were the same on all three sets of cards.
Hmm.
Within, I mean, 0.02 of a point.
Right.
Overall, I had two winners, which would be expected. And I got $6, so I did slightly better than would be expected at a 50%
return. You had $6?
I had $6.
Would you have $5? So basically, we wound up with, you know, out of the $30 that we invested, we made we made $21 in profit. So
well, no, let's not
not
call
profit,
that profit.
No, not profit. Yes, because
yeah.
we lost
yeah,
money.
We lost $9.
Lost money. we did get you know, a better than average payout. The average payout is about 50% of what you invest into it.
Statistically, we each should have had two cards that won.
Right.
Because the odds of winning on almost all scratch offs are 4.88. So let's just round it to five. So 1 in 5 is a winner to some extent. So how many total winning cards?
I had one winning card. You had four.
So that's 5, 6, 7.
Seven. So
out of 30.
Out of 30, that's a little bit better there.
Yeah,
also. Yeah.
Again, we did a little bit better than average.
So.
But having said that, we did better than average, which means we didn't lose all of it.
Right. We still lost money.
No matter how you work the numbers, we still lost almost a third of what we started with.
Yep.
We should also note at this point that we're still here talking to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
a clue, if you
because will. We love our listeners.
Right. That is exactly the reason.
So, so you know, now that we've done our little statistics here, which was obviously a very scientific study that we performed here. You know, the article that started this whole thing was about this guy in Canada who he was a statistician, and there was a lottery, scratch-off lottery type of card in his area. It was a bingo kind of card, and on the card it had numbers.
Right.
So
that's,
you know,
the way most lotteries work.
No, but well, the ones that we had, you have to
shown.
Scratch off. Right, you have to scratch off.
They
this,
revealed
right,
certain numbers.
This card had certain numbers that were revealed. So, you know, he was looking at it, and after a while figured, you know, there must be a way to crack this. He, you know, would scratch them off, and he eventually determined a pattern based on, you know, the numbers that were shown. Basically, there was a frequency of
if
the numbers.
If there were duplicates of numbers within certain rows or whatever else, he could be predicted between 80% and 90% to be a winner.
Right.
Ooh, because ultimately, it's a computer.
Yeah, well, he had to figure, you know, knowing what he knew, the numbers could not be randomly generated because, you know, in a lottery like this, the government, whoever the controlling agency has to be able to control the payouts. You can't have it completely random. So there must be some system to it. So, you know, he put the work in and figured it out. The thing was, you know, as he got into it, he started to run the math, saying, okay, you know, if I could predict the winners between 80% and 90%, could I, you know, make a living off of this? And his ultimate findings were no. I mean, if he was scratching cards, you know, if it took 30 seconds to scratch a card, and that's all he did all day, 40 hours, you know, he'd only make like 20,000-30,000 a year, I think it was.
Now, we should note that this guy was a mathematician, yeah, and obviously really knew what he was talking about, but also made a shit ton of money, yeah, doing what he, right, did as well, so...
And that would mean he have to sit there scratching cards for 40 hours a week to still make...
And he still has to know what number is being shown.
Right.
Like, when I bought the tickets, I couldn't see what tickets.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't either, yeah.
Well, but that was an interesting thing, is that he actually asked several convenience store owners...
To exchange them.
Right. If you brought a card that was completely unscratched, like if you found the algorithm or whatever else, and the card was completely unscratched, could you return it? And they said yes.
They would let him, yeah.
Really?
Not only, yeah, exchange it, but return it.
And that seems like a big flaw right there.
Serious.
Yeah.
Well, with all of our cards, though, there was nothing exposed, yeah, that would, right, necessarily exposed, give, yeah, that. And we tried black lights, and, right, we tried stuff just to read them beforehand.
Yeah.
Just because that was something somebody had mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of the hacks that we saw. One was, you know, you shine a UV light on it, and you can potentially see the numbers. There were some other ones that we read. You soak them in vodka,
yeah,
or something like that.
The old latex would allow the ink to show through if,
yeah,
you soaked
the,
it in vodka,
you know,
and dried it out.
The more modern cards now, they're printed differently. It's not the same silver kind of covering that, you know,
right,
from back in the day. So they're different.
Well, and of course, they've continued to evolve with the times. I mean, what I thought was really interesting about that one particular article about the Canadian guy was he put a phone call into the lottery commission and said, hey, dude, you know, I figured out a way to hack your system and I can win, you know, within this certain percentile. And he never got a call back.
Never got a call back.
2 weeks later.
How many people do you think have
seen? Exactly.
Oh, I'm sure,
right,
I'm sure. But 2 weeks later, he literally goes in and buys a stack of tickets,
like 20,
separates them out, and says, here are the winners, here are the losers, sent it in a package, and within 2 hours,
he got
a call back of like, would you please come in to meet with us?
Yeah.
Pretty please, thank you.
And they immediately, the next day, pulled those cards,
yep,
off the shelves.
Well, yeah, because everybody has a system. So,
right,
they hear that and it's like, yawn, moving right along.
Yeah.
But now you show me, you just display unscratched tickets.
Right.
Oh, shoot. Okay, yeah. So you figured something out.
Right.
And that's a problem.
And it also, the article said he taught his 8-year-old niece or something like,
yeah,
that how to do it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
One of the other systems that I read about that they're probably need to start cracking down on or monitoring is actually... by the store clerks themselves, you know, they know that a particular role has a certain percentage of payout. So if they're getting towards the end of that role and haven't had a lot of people come in and cash those, they themselves will buy up the rest of that role.
Not only that, but most of the states have, on their websites, you can look to see what high prizes there are and if they've been paid out. So a lot of convenience stores, like on a lot of the tips to win and scratch off that I reviewed, they said don't buy like the mystery pack at the discounted rate because the retailer knows that most of the high prizes are already paid out. It's likely that those cards are trash anyway,
right,
so they're selling. I don't know that they can sell it at a discounted rate because I think that's regulated.
Yeah, right.
But they have like mystery packs of like, I don't know who would do that anyway, but don't do that.
What I didn't look at statistically, and it just occurred to me, was what you could make off of a pack of baseball cards on a regular basis.
If you were to buy
buy baseball cards using the exact same money that you would buy lottery tickets on with, I mean, typically, if you get the right rookie cards,
yeah,
depending upon who the manufacturer is, you can make some serious cash. You know, it's truly amazing.
No, no, no. You're talking baseball cards, and I can see folks' brain rolling magic cards.
Yeah, that's exactly where I went.
Seriously.
Because I did. You know, in my pack of magic cards, one of the packs had the most valuable card in the set. It was worth like $40. Granted, I spent about $400 buying cards, so, you know, whatever, but...
to redeem folks just a little bit, he actually plays, so he's not the creepy guy just collecting cards.
No, but, like, I just was opening a box of stuff that I've been carrying around forever, and I found, you know, ridiculous rookie cards and baseball cards from when I was in middle school. And these guys are like Jose Canseco.
Right.
And I've got 6 of his rookie cards from Topps. I've got Fleer cards. I've got all this stuff. These guys actually went on to have long careers. Some of them are still playing.
That right there, people are going to, right now, they're writing up an email, sell me those, I will buy those.
Do it. Hit me up, I'll give you all the information. Highest bid wins. That is how you make money on cards, my friends.
Yep. So that about wraps up our lottery discussion. And I guess the big takeaway is there are much better things to do with your money. The numbers just don't add up to, you know, making any kind of real wealth off of these things. So, yeah, don't do it. Unless it's a purely entertainment experience for you. It's not a wealth building, it's for funsies.
Right. See, and I have the opposite. You can't win if you don't play. Oh, I'm kidding. You fucking don't play. Make the states pay for their own education departments. It's ridiculous. This should be added money.
Yeah. Or better yet, instead of dropping the $5 on the pretty scratch-off tickets, sit down and teach your kids how to balance a goddamn checkbook.
That, too, would be something not taught in schools, by the way.
True.
I mean,
balance a budget, balance a checkbook. Yeah.
Seriously, and if you yourself don't know how to do that to teach your kid, go to the bank. They'll walk you through it.
Oh, they'll hate it, but they'll do it.
Seriously, it only benefits everybody.
Yep. So, folks, until next time, it's been a blast, and we'll see you around.
Good night.
We're going to go buy some more scratch-offs.